We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going to go to this segment that I love doing. Every Thursday we do this thing. We like to call it a Butters and Lee segment. We bring in two of these folks who just make things happen in the background. They're just special to us, and they've got opinions. Oh, Lord, they got opinions. So let me call the roll. First of all, Butterman, are you on the line? Butterman, unmute yourself.
I am here. Sorry about that. A little technical difficulty.
There you are. All right, good. We got them. All right, and calling in from the upper reaches of the state, Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
I am.
I pronounce a quorum for Butters and Lee. All right, you guys, y'all know the deal. I ask questions first, then we flip the script and y'all ask me questions. But so here's my first question, and I got to go with it. It's like the only thing in the news cycle right now. Holy smokes. So Biden makes his garbage comment yesterday. And I got to ask you, is this making a difference? I mean, does that garbage thing, did it affect voters? Did it impact people who are undecided? And then I got to follow up and just ask, was it intentional? Is he doing something to, poke at Kamala? So I'll go with you first there, Butters. What do you think?
Man, I think it serves to be a bit more unifying even than the deplorables comment.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it just is outright. So does it make a difference? I don't know if it necessarily makes a difference in the votes. Maybe there's a few people in the middle that go, wait a second. But I think it makes a difference in even more unification behind President Trump and all of us that just want something different, don't want somebody that's that thinks we're garbage.
So what's your perspective, though? Are the undecideds who are like, okay, I can't be on that team?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it intentional? I don't think he can be both, super savvy and, out to lunch. So I think they just should have turned the mics off, months ago.
Probably should have never logged in. In fact, I heard that somebody even asked, who logged him into Zoom? And I think that Karine Jean-Pierre admitted that she did. But all right, Lee, what do you think? The garbage comment, is it making a difference? Is it moving the needle? What do you think?
Yes, I think it's going to move the needle some. And I agree with Butters, even if it's just to unify. I can't believe there's too many people left out there that haven't made up their mind at this point. What's stopping you already? But I think that, yeah, it will. But I believe that him doing the garbage man thing, him and Vivek, is really kind of what brought it home. I don't know who's working with him right now, but this stuff is gold. Like, it's just amazing. Because imagine after Hillary said the basket of deplorables, if he went dressed as a basket and started picking up things called deplorables and putting them in. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just... He's on it in every way as far as responding to these things. And I think the response just heightened the whole thing. And I don't think he necessarily was doing anything to try to trip up Kamala. I just think at this point he's like, F it, the gloves are off. I can say what I want. I'm on my way out. No one cares what I say anyway.
Well, I also can't help but wonder, though, about the timing, because every time she's doing something important, he's doing something at the same time. And that's, you look at it and go, okay, if you're trying to suck the oxygen out of the room, even if you didn't mean to say these crazy things, who scheduled him for a walk-in presser with Karine Jean-Pierre at the same time that she's on The View? And who scheduled him to do a Zoom call for Hispanic voters while she's on the Ellipse, doing her big grand speech? Nobody remembers her speech, but they all remember his insult.
I think it's his people, and I think they're all angry at the way he was treated and the way that they see themselves being treated and ushered out, as much as it is him, it's people around him. They don't like the way that happened.
What are you saying,
Hunter? And I think, like, Jill and advisors and stuff, I think they all hold a high level of resentment and would love to eclipse her. But honestly, I don't think Joe is – I think he's – I'm sure he's angry about it too in his way, but he's still that same weird bumbling, fumbling guy. I think they just know, hey, we're going to put him out here and maybe he'll do something, you know, like just throw him out there.
Let's see. Last comment.
If there was something intentional, it's whoever's handling him. I think his only intentional thing he's doing every day is you know, waking up and breathing. But, yeah, so I could definitely see that, you know, his wife, you know, she may be pretty savvy.
I'm thinking Jill's got a little something going on with the scheduling. Yeah. I think she's sort of helping with the let's steal some thunder and make them work.
And it could be a good thing. I mean, I know there are people that will go vote that really haven't looked, you know, and which is crazy to think, but they exist. And so having this churning around may be good to have the next few days.
All right. So next question. Let me ask this. I mean, right now, like, there's nothing else on the news except election stuff. Nothing. I mean, you can't hardly find a story about anything out there except for what's happening in the election cycle, what insult was cast, how did the rally go? And I, you know, I guess I don't fault it. It's the biggest election, I think, in my lifetime, and I'm the oldest one on the line right now. But that being said, what is the biggest story that we're not seeing because election coverage is so dominating the news cycle? Is it what stories are we missing that are so big that you think if it weren't for the election, that would be a top line story? Lee, you first this time.
Well, I think that I look outside the United States sometimes for stories like this because, you know, like Australia, look at Sky News or Britain, Daily Mirror, Telegraph, just something, because they tend to do a more fair coverage outside the U.S. because our media is such sycophants. You know, they might as well be a de facto wing of the Democrat Party at this point, besides maybe a very few. You know, even Fox News can be iffy. So I would say the story out of the Telegraph talking about several thousand migrants that are really rushing to get to the border before the 5th, because they said they want to get there, get in, and have him, you know, be like rubber stamped on him, because they know how it goes. When you get here, you just apply for asylum for any reason that it doesn't matter, and they just let you on in and say, will you come back for a court date, you know, 5 years from now? And they're like, yeah, sure. Yeah, just give me that ticket. I'll get right on back here. And what, 80 or 90% of them don't come back. So they just want to get here because they have said that if Trump wins, they're not coming. Well, that's a big story.
Yeah, don't we have a huge caravan coming our way right now, right?
Yeah, and they have specifically said I would have never come, after the election if Donald Trump won, and this is the whole point of electing him, is that these people understand that the gravy train stops on November 5th.
Wow. Okay. So your story is that there's a caravan coming to the border. And that these folks are saying right now, if Trump comes, we might as well not even come. We're not going to come. That is huge. All right, Butterman, with about 2 minutes left here, what do you think? What's the biggest story we're not seeing because election coverage is so big?
Storm recovery. North Carolina, Tennessee.
Oh, man.
There's big doings. I don't know if you've seen the West Virginia coal miners got down there and put a road together. There's a lot of, I mean, not even just, you know, how is it being handled, but I mean, why is there not a single news story on any of this stuff? And it's really sad, you know, cause it's our neighbors and, they all still need a lot of help. And there's a lot of stuff going on up there.
I even saw too, a story that I haven't tracked it down to see if it was true, but that Lyman have been going for 8 weeks now without getting paid by FEMA for being there, you know, trying to restore electrical grids, and there's some of them are striking now. Is that true? Do you know?
I haven't heard that, but
oh my gosh,
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think you're. Gosh, that's a great story. You're right, and it's amazing how many communities are going to be a year or more away from getting back into some semblance of order. Okay, two huge stories. I think you're both spot on. So, southern border caravan, North Carolina devastation. I would also add to it that I think that we're missing a lot right now about what's going on in the Middle East with Israel, Iran, Lebanon, Gaza. And on the one hand, I'm kind of glad because the more the media focuses, the more there is this anti-Israel sentiment that seems to somehow impact the whole situation. At the same time, I think what's also happening is the media is doing this because they know that there's a faction of the Democrat Party that is bailing on Kamala, and they are trying to slow that bleeding in like places like Michigan. So I think part of that is staying out of the video footage right now just because it helps Kamala. But the Middle East, I think, is a huge story right now. All right, you guys, what you got?
Second, for sure, but hard to put that above the stuff going on with our neighbors.
I agree. All right, good stuff, man. All right, that's round one. We're round one of Butters and Lee. We flip the script when we come back. We come back and they ask me questions, and I just kind of hold my breath and wait and see what they're going to ask and hope I got an answer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back to round two with Butters and Lee. This is where we flip the script. They ask me questions. I just see how I do. Hope it works. I'm going to go with Butters first. What you got, man?
So we were just talking about the Middle East, international affairs. I guess there's a lot of ways we could go with this, but I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are if Harris gets elected. What should we brace to see in the international scene? Is it how big of a an impact is that going to have on where things go?
Well, I think first of all, if you see Harris get elected, you'll see an emboldened Iran. A couple things there. I think you'll see an emboldened Iran who believes that they have further entitlement to do things in the Middle East that that no one except Israel will check them on. And they'll also still have their revenue streams because it's the Biden administration that has lifted the sanctions, that has given Iran the ability to fund its sources of terrorism and malign activity. However, that being said, I think if Harris is elected, I think Israel will realize it has no choice but to act unilaterally, and I think there will be some nuclear and fuel depot sites that may wind up going up in flames because Israel will have no choice but to shut it off because they don't have Big Brother with the Trump administration coming in to help shut things down again, and it leaves them no choice but to fight for their survival. So I think one of the things you'll see on the world stage is that the Israel-Iran situation will probably get worse. That's my initial thought there. With regards to Ukraine, it'll continue to drag on. It'll be the eternal bleed, and we'll wait and watch and just keep sending them stuff with no plan. I think if Trump comes in, I think that conflict is over much quicker. I don't know the resolution, but I do believe that Putin does not want to mess with a Trump. But I also believe that Trump will demand an actual plan. That shows him why our dollars are being spent. I don't think Trump will pull out. I don't think he'll bail on them. I don't think he'll force them to accept loss. But I think he will also come in and require there to be a different level of accountability. And then just in terms of NATO in general and our presence on the world stage, I think you'll wind up seeing a heightened level of respect and a world that recognizes that there's a new sheriff in town. And they'll sit up straighter in their chairs and act a little different. Right now, they could care. They don't even return our phone calls sometimes. Right now, it's a freaking mess. You got North Korea, for the first time in its existence, North Korea is providing an expeditionary force to a foreign conflict. North Korea has sent 10,000 troops to fight in Ukraine. When has that ever happened?
I'm impressed that they could.
Yeah. Well. I'm not sure how it's working out. There's a mixed bag of reports on how that's going, but even still, I'm looking at it right now. I'm hearing that some of those guys are already defecting. Some of them can't be found, and they may be cannon fodder. I don't know.
No. Point the rifle that direction.
Yes. Oh, by the way, we'll feed you. You feed us? Sure. There's my thoughts on it, bro.
Okay.
I think I had enough fodder for that one to sound like I knew something about something. Let's see if I can do with it. Lee. Lee, what you got for me?
So I don't know if you saw where on CNN, Ryan Gardeski kind of got into it with Mehdi Hasan. They were arguing and back and forth, and Gardeski said, "I hope your beeper doesn't go off." He's arguing a Palestinian, and granted, it was a low blow, but God knows. The people on CNN have called Republicans everything from just on that show, Goebbels to Nazis to racist to KKK, you know.
Yeah.
They've called practically Satan. So, I mean, but what they've done now, they've kicked him off. They've publicly shamed him. He's banned. He's, you know, he's getting hit pretty hard. My contention is that leftists can give it, but they can't take it.
Oh, and, they can't. No.
They That's can't. What I'm asking you. What do you think?
I think they got triggered in a big way. I think that they first of all, I will say that was not the place, dude. That was not the place for that kind of insult. That was a social media post. That was not meant to be on a CNN panel. But nonetheless, it's a clear indication, though, that liberals are so hypersensitive that they can't handle that kind of stuff. It's a trigger word. It's an insensitivity that has to be dealt with. And so. So, yes, I really do believe, though, that what's going to wind up happening is, how do you pronounce the guy's name? Gardeski. He's going to have the podcast of podcasts coming up here pretty soon. He's probably going to wind up getting a seat on a panel with Fox or News Nation or Newsmax or somebody. So he'll be fine. Mehdi Hasan, boy, he was apoplectic.
He's kind of rich, but that he's like pearl clutching. It's rich.
He's like what?
I said it's rich that Mehdi Hasan is like pearl clutching that someone called
pearl clutching. Okay, yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah. I look at the whole thing. I think that was just it was a knuckleheaded moment, but it was also a knuckleheaded response. And I wonder too what behind the scenes, you know, were the higher ups already like, okay, he's out of here, or did Mehdi Hasan go cry to them and demand that he be taken off? I don't know. I'd love to know what the backstory was. What do you think?
It seems like because I watched him on Megyn Kelly's show, and he was like, well, when I first got off, I apologized to him. It was kind of a dumb joke, and but it was rude. And he said, but it really didn't seem like that big a deal. He said, but then when it blew up, the higher ups thought, oh no, he's never coming back. So it was more the reaction than, you know, what happened at the time.
But you got to admit, it was pretty freaking clever. I mean,
he was trying to be funny, but
he looks at the guy and goes, "I hope your beeper doesn't go off." I mean, that is actually kind of an epic backhand. I mean, I'm just saying that's words with effect right there. All right, you guys.
But he has been.
Do what? Go ahead.
He's been a Palestinian promoter, and sometimes it seems almost a Hamas apologist. So I think that's where that came from.
That's absolutely where it came from. All right, Butters and Lee, as always, thank you for your input. I feel more educated because of it. But we'll have you guys on again next week. And don't forget, Butters is going to be there for the live stream on Tuesday night, on election night. So be watching and waiting for that one. All right, listen, we got plenty coming on in a few minutes. We're going to come back from the next break. And we got U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville calling in. So stand by for that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.